really, I don't know, I enjoy these times. It's intimate, not too formal. But, yeah, it's just, to me, it speaks of love. I mean, I know elders are often trying to feel our way into things. Like, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? You know, which way to go? And this morning, I must admit, it was easy. It was about family. But I did have to seek the Lord on, okay, God, what do you want to share on family? Because that is important. And so, yeah, it's just great that we can come together and that God is alive among us. Can I take this off? Was it? So I was just meditating on it because our God is alive. You know, he's, everything is always different in the way we get together, our meetings. Sundays are never the same. Our community times are never the same. Our fellowship, our prayer times are never the same. It's because there's life. Huh? I don't know if you feel like it. That's what I love about it, is that there's life here. And I know Hebrews 13, where it says God's the same yesterday, today, forever. But you know what? The amazing thing about God, he's so awesome. He's so big. He's so transcendent. He's above everything. And he gives us like glimpses of himself because we can't comprehend the fullness of who he is. And so, yes, God is the same, but yet he's active. He's alive. He's not some static God. You know what I mean by static? He's not an idol that's fixed and we come and we worship the idol every Sunday. He's alive, and he's alive among us as a family. Not only is he alive, but his word's alive. The Bible says, where is it? Hebrews 4:12. It says the word is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit. And so God penetrates us, and he speaks to us, and he's alive in us. And that's what I love about the Lord, is that there is nothing that's ever the same when there's life here. And this morning, yeah, it's just been amazing to see how God is just, he's so big. He's so immeasurably big in how he displays his glory and how he reveals himself. And so because God is so big and he's so wonderful, there's that sense of, God, I can never know you. I can never truly comprehend who you are. And I think of that scripture, and this is the paradox of it, in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Have I given you that one? It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct him?" So it's almost like it's impossible. But then he says this, "But we have the mind of Christ." So it's almost like God's saying in one sense, listen, you can never know the fullness of who I am, but at the same time, I'm giving you the mind of Christ that you can know me. So there's that paradox. There's that thing of God saying, I still want you to seek me. But when you seek me, you're going to do it not as an intellectual way, but you're going to seek me in an intimate way. And you're going to know me in an intimate way. And you're going to know me and through me. And this is where I believe the body comes in, because together we begin to understand God through each other. I've learned more. Well, I won't say more, but I've learned, you know, I study scripture lots and I love it. But I learn lots through the life of this church. I grow lots. God speaks to me through you guys. There's life here, and he speaks to me through the uniqueness of who you are. And that's the amazing thing of this whole paradox. And the diverseness of who we are. It's like, if I can take it like this, it's like God's got this tapestry that he's busy weaving. And each person, let's say Ian, he's weaving Ian. And then he's weaving Nadis and Lindy and Barbara. And he begins to make this tapestry, this beautiful tapestry. And he says, okay, I'm making this masterpiece called the church. And that's why I'm not into superstar kind of evangelist type of people. Because, come on, when you're doing a tapestry, you don't take a piece of thread and go, wow, what a nice piece of thread. It's like God doesn't do that, because he's doing something when he makes this tapestry that makes him look good, not you. You know what I mean? It's displaying his glory, not ours. And so God takes this tapestry of uniqueness of each individual, and he makes this picture, and he says, I want to present this picture to the world. I want to make known the largeness, the awesomeness of who I am. I want to make known to the world and to principalities. And that's why we can read in Ephesians 3:10, he says, the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church to principalities and powers. You ever understand that scripture? It makes more sense, doesn't it? It's the manifold, the largeness of God. I know in myself, I can't display God's glory in its fullness. I know I'm limited. I know I am a single thread in this tapestry of God's design. And so are you. But I love it. But God's called us to know him. He's given us images of himself that we can know him. And as we've been understanding this morning, it's just a picture of family. But I want to talk about just quickly, just some of the unique pictures that God paints for us about himself. So give me some metaphors. What do you read in the Bible? What does God reveal about himself? Give me some metaphors God uses for himself. What? He's kindness. But give me a metaphor of let's for instance, God says, I'm a rock. What else does he say? A vine. Lion. Lamb. A head. What else? Come on, there's lots. Huh? Light. Light. Prince of Peace. Okay. Prince. King. Bread. Huh? Door. Oh, your door. Sorry, that mask was covering. Yeah. So, foundation even. That's one. Cornerstone. I mean, why does God do that? Because he's giving us images because we can't grasp the fullness of his. So he like gives us glimpses. And because it's in those moments that as we have a glimpse, we begin to see the glory of who he is. You know, there's times in my life that I'm feeling overwhelmed where the enemy is attacking me and I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I feel there's like a fear that comes in me. And it's in those moments I need the Lion of Judah that roars over my enemies. It gives me that confidence of knowing who he is. And there's times that I find that I'm in the shifting sand of just, God, I don't know, the world's doing this and I'm trying to find you. It's almost like I'm in the shifting sand and it's like all of a sudden the foundation of Jesus comes under my feet and brings such security on the rock of who he is. And I find myself secure again. You ever feel like that? Or sometimes you're like groping in the dark, like, God, where are you? I'm trying to find my way in this. And he comes like a light. And he overwhelms the darkness. And the darkness can't comprehend it. It's like, God, I can see you. I can see what you called me to. I can see my purpose. And I can understand the largeness of who God is in glimpses. And this is, there's nothing I can do if I don't have these pictures of who God is. And in these moments, think of it. Think of Moses. He had this amazing task. God saying, listen, I'm going to ask you to lead nearly 3 million people out of Egypt into the promised land. What did Moses say? Well, God, if you're going to do that through me, I need to see your glory. I need to see something of yourself because flip. And you know, the amazing thing is God doesn't just, the same way God gives us pictures of himself, he also gives us pictures of his church. Now, I want us to understand that because there's something of the largeness of who he is and how he presents himself. There's also the largeness of who he is in the life of the body. Okay? And we see many metaphors in the church. We see God giving, illustrating the church as an army, right? So what comes to mind when you think of army? You think of being militant. You think of, we engaged in a spiritual warfare. That there's an enemy out there who's like a roaring lion ready to devour us, you know? There's a sense of, hey, God, I need to put on the armor that you've given me because there's a fight out there. And so you've got that awareness of God, but also of each other. And so you understand the armor of God. You understand what Paul says, we fight the good fight. You understand that there's moments that we need to be more intentional. We need to be militant. We need to be disciplined. We need to be aggressive. Aggressive. Well, the Bible says that. It says that forceful men take the kingdom and they take it by force. And so there's a sense of understanding that. There's a sense of just knowing that I can't get involved in civilian activity because I'm part of the army. Okay, so that you understand that. So that God gives us that metaphor of army as a church. And then you see a metaphor like a building. Okay, we know a building that each one of us have to be building on the foundation of Jesus. And every brick is every person that we are living stones being placed on that foundation. And we got to take heed how we build on that foundation. Then we see another metaphor. I mean, doesn't that just show a beautiful picture of God? You see another metaphor. The church is a bride. And she's pure. And she's preparing herself to be the spotless bride before the groom is coming back one day. And she has to be pure. And she has to be that virgin that's not mixed with the world, because God is coming back and he's jealous. He's a jealous God and he wants to come back with us without spot or blemish. So we see that picture. I'm trying to think, what other pictures are there? Body. The church is a body. It's made up of many functions, and you think of a physical body. It's got an ear, eye, nose. Everything has a function, has a purpose. And so with that sense, we understand the functionality of a church. Hey, and we all connected to the head being Jesus. But this morning, I felt God saying, look, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about, I want to talk about church as a family, because that represents something of the glory of who I am in itself that the other metaphors can't present God in. And this morning, that's what I want to quickly just focus on, a church as a family. And when you think of family, what do you think of? Give me some illustration. What comes to mind when I say family? You can see the young guys, huh? Love, brothers, sisters, mothers, relationships, having fun. Families have fun. Well, they should have. Discipline. Now you're talking about army here. Shame, your poor kids. But you know, I feel as important as all these things are, I feel the emphasis that God wants to bring about the glory of family, especially in this season, this moment that we're in. And I felt just in that is that we got to realize we're born into a household of faith. Like you know, you guys coming up in the front, you're actually saying, listen, I've decided I'm slotted in here. We're all born again. I hope, and if there's some people that have never committed their lives to Jesus, I want to say that is the most important thing that you'll ever do. But when you're born again, it's not about you just coming and saying the sinner's prayer, Lord, I accept you into my heart, and that's it. That's not the end. You're actually born into the life of a family. Think of it. Lona and Mario, they never just said, okay, let's go to the hospital, let's have our kids, okay, now we can go. No, those kids, those babies are now born into the life of a family. Am I right? Their lives have just changed forever. They've got a responsibility. They've got caring and nurturing and loving to do and bringing them up to a place of adulthood. Hey, double time. Yeah, heavy. And yeah, and I think because we take Romans 10:9, it says, you know, if we confess Jesus as Lord and we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths, we will be saved. Yes, that is true. But we confess what? We confess that He's Lord and I'm part of His family. He is Lord of this household. So being that is not I'm just born again. I'm born into a family. The same way we're born into a physical family, so we're born into a spiritual family. And I was just thinking of this as I was preparing my heart for this. Ephesians 2:19, I want us to quickly go there. It says, now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. I just want to stop there. It says, you're no longer strangers. Now I want to say, you might be coming here every day into the life of this church and feel, you know, I'm really not connecting. I want to say, you can feel like a stranger. I want to ask you this morning, are you slotted into the life group of the people here? Do you come to communities? Are you engaged in fellowship? Because I don't want you to be deceived because you come here on a Sunday that you actually knitted into the family. This is what I want to stress this morning, because it's self-deceiving. And if you're a stranger, then there's something wrong. If you feel like a stranger yet day after day, week after week, month after month, there's something wrong. Because that scripture says we're no longer strangers, we're part of the household of faith. And I want to encourage you, I know there's something of personality that we've got to work through. I've had to do that. If I had to take myself, I'd be the kind of guy that would sit in the corner, and I'm fine. You know, I don't always need that engagement. But God has stretched me. He's shown me what family's about. And I've had to knit myself with people and get and engage and love and speak. Even coming out and speaking, I've had to grow in that gifting because of the family. You guys are the family. And I've had to work that thing out of myself. But I want us to realize, because it's so important, just as we understand that, because there needs to come a time that we say, okay, this is the moment. I've decided this is where I'm going to plug into. This is the place where I'm going to give my heart, and it's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me my resources. It's going to cost me everything. 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 And don't think it's a personal thing between me and Jesus, because we often read that, like Matthew 10:38. People can read scripture through filters. And I often think, you know, when Jesus says, he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And then Luke 9:23, so anyone which is the parallel scripture to this. Anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. So Luke stresses that, listen, this is not a once-off moment that I give my life to Jesus, that's it. Luke specifies, listen, this is a daily thing. This is a point where you draw the line and say, I want to knit my heart and it's going to cost me to be with you. It's going to cost me, but I love you. It's not a, you don't break, you don't interrupt my time. You are my time. You don't interrupt my relationships. You are my relationship. You don't interrupt, you are. That's part of being a disciple, is that we invade each other's homes. You get into each other's faces and spaces. And so, we need to take up the responsibility of being in the house of God. And that's what I want to encourage you guys this morning, because I don't want you to be deceived. You know, we can be, in a sense, squatters in the house of God. Think of it. We can be squatters. What is a squatter? Well, that's someone who's just an oxygen thief that sits at the pew, that is a spectator, really, in the life of this body. You come here, and it feels good because, in a sense, you feel like you're doing your spiritual duty. But I want to say, don't be deceived if that's you. You can't be a spiritual squatter in the house of God. And I'm saying this because it's kind of real to me at the moment. I was just thinking of like my father-in-law. We all know the story. There's a guy that was staying there since December, before even the lockdown came. And he was just living there for free in the house. And he caused a lot of grief to my father-in-law. And I was just meditating on that. When I came to collect the key from the guy a few days ago, I went to the house and saw the house was really just trashed. You know, like the walls were dirty, the cupboards were dirty, the carpets were full of mess. Everything was just, there was 0 points of electricity in there. There was no gas in the oven. The weeds had overgrown. I mean, the guys that helped me, and I want to thank you guys just for helping that, but they even saw that, look, flip, this guy, did someone actually live here, you know? In fact, the people that did the cleaning, because I had to get a cleaning crew to go in there, they said, who lived here? Yeah, can we phone this guy? I said, don't worry, it's already sorted, you know, we've spoken. And I took the key from the guy, I said, you know, I can understand if you're financially destitute or your hardship, but you know what, you can look after a place, even if it's not yours, it's something of self-respect. And I just felt in my heart, and I really believe the same way my father-in-law's heart ached because he saw his house being deteriorated. He saw that this person wasn't contributing. And you know, I feel God's heart aches into the life of the church because people do the same. They don't contribute. They neglect the house of God. And God doesn't ache because he's losing something. He aches because you're losing something. There's a difference. God's love is perfect. He's complete. But he wants you to be knitted into it. And so I want to encourage you guys. It's a hard thing that I've had to just process. I had to forgive this guy. I had to work it out. But I realized, God, your house is important. In fact, he challenges, even in the Old Testament, you can see it in Malachi. He says, you know, you guys are so consumed with your own houses. What about my house? What about what you're doing there? We can even see it when Jesus was in the temple and he walks in and imagine walking into your father's house and people are just doing their own thing. The buying and selling. Jesus walked into his father's house and he saw the extortion that was taking place and he whipped them out. Why? Because he was consumed, because the father's house had consumed him. And you know what? The amazing thing, and he rebuked the Pharisees for the same thing. He says, you know, you custodians of the house of God and you don't even go into it and you prevent others from even going in it. And the amazing thing is, you know, every single one of us are not called to be hirelings. We're not called to be people that are here just for a moment and then we're gone. You know what a hireling is? Someone you hire in that context was Jesus talking about true shepherds versus hirelings. The true shepherds would look after the sheep. They would care for the sheep. They would worry. They would do everything they could for the sheep. And when a wolf come, they would chase the sheep away. They would have their staff in their hand. They'd get rid of them. But if it was a hireling, he would run and he'd leave the sheep. And you'd be unconcerned about the house. And you know, we called to be so involved in each other. We're so concerned with one another. And it is so important, church. It is important. It's to God. I remember when we first moved to Georgia, someone came here and he says, you know what? I just want to give you my card. I'm an excellent worship leader. I've led many congregations. you know, if you need me, just give me a ring, you know, I'll be there. And I thought, you know, you have no concept of what church is about. Ministry is not a job. This is a ministry. This is a almost like, it's like God has gifted us with something unique that it can't be replaced. I won't tell you the names. I don't know. In fact, I don't have his card anymore. When I first planted you in the other hall, yeah. And you know, the amazing thing is you can come to a church, and I've been to houses like this, hey, where you come into a house and you like, you know, especially these rich people, they've got everything in this place, and you like, don't want to, like if my boys come with you, I'll say, put your hands behind your back. You know? Don't touch anything, because everything's expensive. You know, if you break it, you pay for it, and I can't afford it. You know, that kind of concept. And you have houses like that. And I believe even churches are like that. You can go into a place where you don't feel like this is family, but you know, we've got our hymn, we've got our song, and then it's time to go out, and you go, but you're not knitted in. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with a home like that. My house, can I say, my house is a messy house. My house is lived in. People come in, they go, and there's mess, and there's sometimes shouting and moaning and discipline and all these things, and it's messy. Yeah. Shows you the discipline I have to deal with. Do you want the mic? But listen to what I want to say now. It's important because this is what makes life, is that it's real, that we're in each other's faces. Yes, we're not perfect. I'm not a gifted priest. We not have the excellent worship team, and we don't even have nice coffee. Mark, when you're coming back. Thank goodness we don't have to hold on these things to keep us a church. But you know what makes us perfect? Our Nescafe is nice. But Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Think of that. And we're bearing one another's burdens. I want to, in a sense, just share something at just personal level this morning. But the amazing thing of God's glory, when we needed you guys, you didn't come to us as an army. You didn't come to us as an army and said, you need to warfare now. We need to take on the enemy. You didn't come as a building. Hey, you need to make sure your foundation's on Jesus. We know all that stuff. God's glory needed to present to us as a family. Mothers, brothers, sisters, fathers, and you guys presented yourself as that to us, to Lauren and myself. I love you too, Simone. A glorious church is one that steps in the heart of God, and she'll know how and when to present herself in the times of need. And I just wrote that because I felt God just share my heart. That's what makes church. That's what makes it real, is you guys. And I asked Lauren just to come in, because today I felt like commending you as a church. Today I felt like just blowing wind into your sails, because I'm not here preaching to you as if you're not living in this. I'm commending you because you are. But for the rest of you, if you're outside, I want to encourage you. This is what family's about.
I'm going to try not to cry. Okay. I'm just going to read a scripture. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Adversity means a difficult and unpleasant situation. And the last month, very quickly, my dad had a stroke. He was in hospital for 3 weeks. 2 weeks in. 2 weeks in, my mom died from a heart attack. So it just the adversity, the difficult time. It really has been a very difficult time. But I'm telling you now, guys, We could not get through this time without you guys. Every single one of you, I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you for your messages. I want to thank you for everything. And I'm just going to name a few things, if that's okay. From day one, Chad, Nikki. It was a Tuesday morning, and Chad just woke up and he felt he needs to go visit his mom and dad. And long story short, Chad was there. He was there. He was the man who actually reported to me that my mom had passed away. I mean, how good is God that it was someone so close to us, that it wasn't some stranger phoning, that it wasn't us just finding out, but that God used you guys, and God knew. And I just want to thank you guys for that, for your obedience that morning. And then I'm just going to say, meals, you guys have contributed meals. So Rich, you got in there, you organized, you got the guys, you rallied them. You guys didn't just go into your fridge. I mean, it's difficult times, but you went in and you just gave, you lavished on us in this time. And I want to thank you guys for everything that you've done. Lorette, who's my neighbor, would just come in and she'd see a pile of washing there. And she would just wash it and hang it and fold it. And that just has meant so much to me, Lorette. Thank you so much. So the meals have been incredible. Deliveries, people have come. Renee, Dupe, she's just come. She's dropped off bread. She's dropped off flowers. She's dropped off things, you know. Tourette helped me in a time where boys writing exams, they couldn't get home. The bus was messing us around. Tourette, thank you for stepping in and helping there. Amazing, amazing. I cannot tell you guys, they sound like little things, but they are so big to us in this time. And then my packers. I have a group of packers. We call us the packers. Simone stepped in. She saw a need, and she just said, she just ran with this, and she just rallied nine ladies together. And I'll tell you why this means so much to me. You guys weren't helping me pack my things. You stepped in to help pack my mom and dad's things. You don't know my mom and dad. And I mean, that's sacrifice. Leisha, who gives up a whole afternoon where she, you know, she's got two little kids. Thank you, Leisha. That's amazing. Michelle, your little ones as well. Kanya, she's not here, but she just stepped in to my mom's room. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit deep here, but I tell you, it's something else. You're going, and Michelle, just going through her stuff. I just was so overwhelmed. I'd turn left, I'd turn right, I'd spin around, I'd walk. I just didn't know. But these ladies, they just were incredible. And they didn't just pack, they sorted. And then they didn't just sort, they took the stuff home. Piles, suitcases, they just took the stuff and they washed it. Loria, Lucinda, I just don't want to miss you all out. Sarette, Simone, you guys were absolutely incredible. And the testimony is at 3:15, we got there 1:00. 3:15, we sat down for coffee and we were almost done. It was absolutely incredible. And you guys, and then they prayed for me. They prayed for my dad. They prayed. It just gave me so much strength. I cannot describe how much that means. I tell you that the little saying, what's in your fridge is mine. This goes deeper. Guys, this goes much deeper. It's getting into the nitty-gritty. It's getting into the underwear drawer. It's getting into the dust, the mold, the broken things. It's just, you guys were amazing. And it doesn't stop there. Yesterday, I had another group, Hendrik, driving back from Cape Town, stops to help load, pack. We moved everything from the little retirement home to the other home. There he was, faithfully helping. Marius gives up a Saturday where he could be with his family. Guys, I cannot tell you how incredible you are. He was with his family. There we go. Ian, I mean, Ian, you're just incredible. Your car, your petrol, your trailer, your time. It's amazing. Okay, thank you for your trailer. Every single one of you, you've had a part to play. And I just want to give God the glory because it's these times that knits us together close. I tell you, I cannot describe it. So I just want to thank you guys. And if I cry, it's tears of joy now because I have just seen the church rise up, and just you guys have meant so much to us in this time.
Amen. And so I want to thank you guys, really. I know Ian had a flat on his way out back, and but yeah, you guys, I'm going to close in this. It's just that, as your master, that you guys just, this is it. You presented the glory of God in a time of need, and you knew how. And I think of, I want to close with the scripture in John 16. Jesus kind of points this to us. Did I give you that one? Okay, let me quickly read it. Don't worry, Stefani. And I want to just point this to us because I really feel this is what, to me, you demonstrated. And Jesus was talking to his disciples and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. See, there's moments, there's times that God does it. He doesn't just do it all in one go. And he says, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And I feel God takes moments and he takes seasons as we are people of the Spirit, that we respond to the Spirit. And when we do that, it's almost like we take what's God's and he declares it through our relationships one to another. He takes what is his and he declares it. And you guys, in a sense, you declared it in doing what you were called to do. And that is so purposeful. You know, I was just thinking of Chad just sharing the other day just about being front-footed. Sometimes we think front-footed as being, I've got to be the army or I've got to be the bride, or I've got to be this. Being front-footed is being what God's called you to be at the moment you're called to be it. And that's it. That's it. Just being a people of the Spirit. Even Jesus said that, I only do what I see the Father do. That's what made him front-footed. and so just in closing, I feel just as Mario and Lona, sorry, I've hit a blank, were just bringing their kids up. I was just thinking, you know, what makes us a glorious church is that we are fruitful, is that we are fruitful people. And I was just thinking of it, you know, most of us, if we would take 2019, we would say, that was a terrible year. That was, I mean, think of it, all the Facebook comments, everything, 2019, the worst year. But I'll guarantee Mario and Lona will never say 2019 was a bad year. Am I right? Never. Sorry, 2020 was a bad year. I'm thinking of... Corona 19. Anyway, they'll never say it's a bad year. It was a fruitful year. In spite of what happened, it's a glorious year for them. Because that's when life was. That's when life came into their family. And I want to say, it doesn't matter what the circumstances, it doesn't matter what the hardship is. If we are fruitful, it's going to be a glorious year every year. So we need to be fruitful people. We need to be people that are so involved. That's what brings intimacy, is fruitfulness. You know, when we're intimate, we're fruitful. That's what brings fruit, is that we're intimate. Amen. Cool. I'm going to close. Can I pray? And then anything you want to share, Chad? Okay. Let me pray over this and just that God would continue. Just, yeah. Lord, I want to pray that as we go into a season of just holiday times, Lord, that a season of Lord, just being a family together. Lord, it might not be a building moment for us as a church, as we just, in a sense, wind down at the end of the year. But Lord, I want to pray that this year, this season would be one of just being knitted into family, Lord Jesus, that there won't be anyone excluded over this time. Lord, that we'd be knitted into each other through our relationships, through our bras together, through our coffees, through our, just that they'd be so interconnected, Lord, that your life would reign. Lord, I pray for spontaneous moments, spontaneous worship, spontaneous ministries would take place, Lord, over the season. Lord, I want to pray, as your word says, that you brought the lonely into family, that there will never be any one of us, Lord, that would have a lonely season over this time, but that we'd be knitted into every aspect of what you're doing. And so in that, Lord, we know that we bring you glory. And so I want to thank you for this amazing church that you've blessed us with. I want to thank you for every person here. Lord, that they've represented you well, Lord Jesus, as a family to us. And Lord, we want to say we are so privileged. We are so thankful that you've knitted us with these people. Amazing people. Yes, Lord, they have their faults, they have their mistakes, but Lord, they are still glorious in your sight, and they uniquely been put with us as a family. And so we want to bless you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Cool. Awesome, guys. Trust that you have an incredible week. Just let's stick around, have a coffee together, and let's continue doing life together and building family into the weeks to come. Let's not neglect what God is asking of us. Amen. Thanks, Benny. Well done, Bert. Lauren, love you guys. And we see you guys during the week. Bless you.